In further evidence to the ICAC, it turns out that it wasn't just a handwritten letter. There are documents from a courier company too. Ashley Hall's been at the inquiry today. He joins me now. What a day.
It's been an amazing day, Mark. Very dramatic. Just as the Premier was announcing his resignation, a couple of blocks away at the ICAC, the counsel assisting the inquiry, Geoffrey Watson SC, rose to tender two new documents. It was an envelope addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Di Girolamo and a note from the office of the Premier thanking them for their gift of a wonderful wine from 1959. It was a dramatic turn of events. Less than 24 hours earlier, Mr. O'Farrell had categorically denied receiving the bottle of wine both inside and outside the inquiry. Later this morning, Mr. Watson presented more evidence to the inquiry about the delivery of that bottle. The courier company that delivered the wine supplied some documents which showed that a courier arrived at Mr. O'Farrell's home in Roseville at about 4:31 p.m. on the 20th of April 2011, the day in question. They left the parcel at the front door and it confirmed the parcel was one bottle of wine and it was addressed to Barry O'Farrell. Then Mr. Watson revealed...
Just to interrupt you for a second, there's been a lot of confusion about dates and times, and it seems that it arrived on a Wednesday and Mr. O'Farrell previously had been talking about how he couldn't have it because he was away on holiday over a long weekend. But now it's moved to the middle of the week, and that seemed quite significant in itself.
The initial documents received from the courier company suggested that the bottle was an invoice which was dated the Friday, which was Good Friday. Logically, it was unlikely that it would have been delivered on Good Friday, so further checking of documents showed that it was actually delivered on the Wednesday, the 20th of April. So that cleared up that possibility that Mr. O'Farrell was, in fact, away on the Gold Coast on holiday at the time.
And cleared away any suggestion that I couldn't have been there at the time because I was on holiday.
Exactly.
And so there's that and then this letter.
Indeed. This letter from Mr. O'Farrell that spelt out that he'd received the bottle of wine, thanked Mr. Di Girolamo for it, but Mr. O'Farrell says he doesn't remember writing it.
And not only is there a letter there that thanks him, but it says at one point, thanks for all, and the word all underlined that you've done for us. And that rather undermines his suggestions that his knowledge of Mr. Di Girolamo's friendship was a pretty general and insignificant one.
Yeah, he suggested initially that he barely knew Mr. Di Girolamo, and this is what's created the pressure for Mr. O'Farrell, because at first he said he couldn't remember the last time he spoke to Mr. Di Girolamo. That was in early February. A few weeks later, he admitted dropping in for 5 minutes to a meeting involving the businessman. In early March, he told Parliament he'd met him at 10 events, including football matches. There's photos of him at an Italian Chamber of Commerce function as well, looking very chummy. Later last month, the Premier's office revealed the two men also attended a dinner together just weeks after the election in 2011. And this week, the inquiry's heard that the pair exchanged mobile phone calls and text messages as often as once every couple of weeks, according to Mr. Di Girolamo's evidence. So quite significant amount of contact between the pair.
And so all of this was already in the background when Mr. O'Farrell actually entered the witness box back in the ICAC after yesterday when he thought it was all over.
He seems pretty cocky and confident yesterday dealing with the counsel assisting.
Except for that one moment which you mentioned on last night's program where he went bright red.
Indeed, where the record of the phone call was brought up. Today he was much more contrite. Mr. Watson asked him, why should the people of New South Wales not think that you didn't give honest evidence yesterday, Mr. O'Farrell? And Mr. O'Farrell responded, well, I certainly tried to give accurate evidence to the best of my recollection. And he went on, in the days since I've been back from China, when this matter was first raised with me by my counsel, it went from boxes of wine to box of wine to yesterday a bottle of wine. It went from a date that was allegedly in June to May, then April, then back to May, and yesterday to the 20th of April. So some confusion on the Premier's part. Mr. O'Farrell said he'd given the matter some thought and gave yesterday his best recollection, which clearly was mistaken. And Commissioner, he said, I certainly regret that.
Now, Barry O'Farrell has, throughout his time as Premier and opposition leader, put a premium on probity. And he said today, we heard him saying that he still really backs the ICAC. How has this come about, given that the man has a reputation for integrity?
It all goes to what he registered in the Parliamentary Pecuniary Interest Register and the Ministerial Declaration of Interests. The rules require that if you receive a gift over $500 value, you've got to declare it. Be upfront so that people know that you're not, your time, attention or focus is not being bought by someone by way of gifts. And Mr. O'Farrell made no such declarations, and that's been the trickiness, given his insistence that the government must be squeaky clean. It left him little choice but to resign, because at the time Mr. DiGirolamo sent that bottle of wine, he was furiously lobbying the state government, including the Premier, to enter a lucrative public-private partnership with Australian Water Holdings, the company of which Mr. DiGirolamo was chief executive and part owner. And the ICAC has heard that that company has links to the Obeid family and was improperly billing Sydney Water for extravagant expenses. And a month after the wine was sent, the pair had a meeting, the pair being Mr. DiGirolamo and Mr. O'Farrell. And at the meeting was at State Parliament, and the former Finance Minister Greg Pearce gave evidence that he'd been called into that meeting, and he described it as cosy and as if he'd been called into the headmaster's office. Today, Mr. O'Farrell rejected that characterisation and said that it might be related to the sacking of Mr. Pearce by Mr. O'Farrell last year.
And finally, and very briefly, ICAC is not pursuing Mr. O'Farrell any further.
No, not at all. There's been no suggestion that Mr. O'Farrell's been engaged in corrupt activity. In fact, Mr. Watson, the counsel assisting today, confirmed there won't be any such suggestion when final submissions are made. Mr. O'Farrell seized on that very quickly and stressed that he's done nothing wrong, of course, in the court of public opinion. Details like that are quickly forgotten.
Ashley Hall, thank you.